Tonight we are going to talk about the bride of the king, or the rapture of the royal wedding. And we're going to read about that in the book of the Revelation now, Revelation chapter 21. The book of the Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a jasper stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And then he explains all about that for you. But I want you now to go to see who's in the city. In verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now another reading, just to tie it in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Here Paul is giving a discourse to husbands and wives, and then he says, I'm talking about the church. Verse 22 of Ephesians 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. They two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. The wife see that she reverence her husband. Now that's a lot of reading and a lot of good material that you could think over and enjoy and learn from as time goes on. But tonight, we're going to view the church of Jesus Christ in one or two aspects, but principally that of the bride of Christ. Jesus Christ has a bride, and that bride is made up of precious souls across the world. Each one of them having come to a point, a stage, a crossroads situation where they must receive Christ personally as their Savior. Instantaneously, they are placed inside the great company that's called the Bride of Christ. Other passages call the same company the Church of Christ. And other passages call the same company the Body of Christ. So it doesn't really matter what metaphor you use, they're all correct, but we are looking principally at the Bride of the King. When Jesus Christ went to heaven from the Mount of Olives, for 10 days, the Holy Trinity were there. He, God, and the Holy Spirit. And for the first time, right in the immediate presence of God, there was a man, a real man, with a body of flesh and bone. And God's great principle would apply here. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. So the Father sent the Holy Spirit to the earth to gather out of the nations a people to populate heaven. And that people would become the Bride of Christ. And God has arranged a wedding feast for Christ and his bride. And God has planned and arranged and ordained that every saved sinner will be right there to be joined publicly before watching angels and hosts joined to Christ. Now that's the wedding that I will be at. Probably the only royal wedding that I will be at, unless somebody invites me to some other one. But that's the big one. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is gathering out of the nations tonight a people to populate heaven. And as our loved ones leave us, they go to be with Christ. And sure, that's enough, isn't it? He doesn't tell us where it is, but it's marvelous. So God is planning to give us a new heaven and a new earth and populate it with people who lived on this earth, as after this old earth is burned and destroyed. So God is gathering out of the nations of people to populate the eternal state. He's gathering out of people whom he's calling my church. My church. Isn't that nice? He told the disciples up at Caesarea Philippi, I will build my church. I quite like to hear people talking like that and say, oh, I love to go to my church. Or, we're having a special week of meetings in my church. We're doing such and such in my church. My church. That's relationship, association, involvement, isn't it? My church. And I like to think that Jesus stood and said, my church. Never saw anything like that. Because the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Who is in the church of Jesus Christ? Every sinner who has received Jesus. I'm not talking about the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. You know that. I mean, that's an unfortunate little group of people that a fellow Joe Smith built, and he calls it Joe's Church. And it's like the house that Jack built. I mean, it'll just fall down someday. But I belong to the Church of Christ, of which he says, my church. You know what he calls the people that are in his church? My sheep. My sheep in my church. He's not ashamed to say that you belong to him. My sheep, my church. And I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. So, for 1900 years, The Spirit of God that left heaven on that Pentecost day has been working across the nations of earth. And there's a tremendous crowd of people alive on this planet, and they're going to heaven. And heaven is their ultimate destination. But there's a far greater crowd already got there. And when they all get home, it'll be a multitude that no man could ever number. And the church of Jesus Christ is going to be housed in the city called the New Jerusalem. And it's approximately 5,000 miles long by 5,000 miles broad by 5,000 miles high. Some city. Well, it's got to be. It's the city of the King of Kings. And that's the church of the King of Kings. So if you look on the church of Jesus Christ as his body, as we read to you there in Ephesians 5, as his body, that speaks of relationship. Relationship. Because he's the head, the Bible says. He's the head of the church. So a head needs a body, and a body needs a head. And a body wouldn't be much good without a head. But a body that's got an outstanding head is an outstanding person. The head of the body, which is the church, is in heaven. It's in heaven. If anybody asks you where the headquarters of your church is, tell them it's in heaven. Don't tell them it's in London or Edinburgh or Belfast or the Vatican. No, you'd only let yourself down, really. You will. The head of the Church of Christ is in heaven and the body's on earth. How's that for a relationship? Head and body. Head and body. The body's alive because the head's alive. They may be separated by miles, but he said, I will be with you, and I will be in you. And therefore, it's not really separated. It's the presence of Christ on earth in his body that gives the body substance and life and power. So you look on it as a body for relationship, and then, of course, the writer to the Ephesians also tells us that all the Christians are builded together, a holy temple in the Lord. Therefore, the church of Jesus Christ is also likened to a building. A building. Now, when you're driving along and you see a building, you say, oh dear, some building. Huh? The bigger it is, the better. And the bigger it is, the more you wonder. You say, I wonder who built that. I wonder who designed it. That's tremendous. I wonder who paid for it. I wonder who owns it. I wonder who controls it. You could ask all those questions about the Church of Christ, couldn't you? The body speaks of relationship. The building speaks of authority. Authority. Think of the Church of Jesus Christ. Who designed that? Himself? Who paid for it? Himself? His own blood. Who built it? Himself. He's building his church. Who controls it? Himself. He is the director. He is the architect. He is the builder. He is the controller. He is the financier. So the church of Jesus Christ is likened to a building. And it's likened to a bride, for affection, in order to convey to us something of the love that Christ has for his church. Jesus authorized the writer John to call us the bride of Christ. That was a good authorization, wasn't it? So, Jesus is coming back in the prophetic program to collect his bride. You might not feel very important today. You might not think that being a Christian is anything to be excited about. But you will when the King comes and the world realizes that the Son of God has come for you. It'll be a bigger change for you than for any other person on earth who was taken by her bridegroom by the hand and presented to the world. Be tremendous. You're going to be taken from your home, from the kitchen sink, from your task that you do, obscure, at times feeling insecure, backward. And you're going to be taken from earth and raptured to meet him in the air. And he's going to show you the devil and demons. This is my bride. He's going to show the earth. This is my bride. I am not ashamed of her. And you are familiar with the royal bride, aren't you, from London? And you have watched the things that she has said and done. And as I listened to the interviews, my mind just kept plowing through this subject again, you know. Wasn't the interviewer a strange boy, too, the things he asked? He said to the young lady as she stood beside the prince, "You have been a nanny. How do you think you're going to cope with this entirely new life?" And what did she say? "With Charles, I'd be able to do it." That's the only way you're going to be able to do it. You've a big change coming to you. Yes. How are you going to be the bride of Christ? In glory! Arrayed in majesty! "With Christ, we'll work it out together. We couldn't do it, you and I. We couldn't be Christians, you and I. We couldn't present ourselves to the world as the bride of Christ. He'll do it. He'll do it." And he says, "I love my church as a man loves his bride. And he's going to present us to his Father and then to the world. At the end of the tribulation, he's going to bring us back and leave us up there for the cameras above Jerusalem." The bride of Christ is made up of Christians from the day of Pentecost unto this day. It is important to know that the Old Testament saints are not the bride of Christ. No, the Old Testament saints are not in the church. Now, I know there are some who think they are and would go at great lengths to prove that they were. But they have to go outside the Bible to find any evidence of that. Indeed, Israel was called by an entirely different name. When God cut Israel off, he referred to her as his divorced wife. There's a big difference between a divorced wife and a bride, isn't there? Yes. So Jesus, turning from Israel and stopping her worship and stopping her Sabbath and stopping her Passover, moved out to collect a new bride. A new bride. And the bride of Christ has got the life of Christ and the Spirit of Christ. And no Old Testament saints had that. I know that many good men in this country, a much lesser number in our country because I don't know why, believe that the church will go through the tribulation. Now, I hope you don't. But sometimes I have in my meetings those who do. And we have men in our country who believe that this bride, this lovely blood-washed bride, will go through the dreadful testing and trying which is reserved for Israel. There is not in your Bible a line or a verse or a passage that would support that thought. So I hope that that will put your mind at ease. I have listened to them talking, and I've read a lot of good books that they write until they come to this point where they begin to push the poor church through a time of suffering. Now, the bride of Christ will be leaving this earth before Antichrist appears, before the Battle of Armageddon starts, before the persecution of the Jews, because the tribulation, which is called the time of Jacob's trouble, is a 7-year period that God has promised to Israel, not the church. God gave to Daniel a program or a schedule of 490 years. He said, there's the duration of your reign on earth, 490 years. And he told them in detail, he said, at the end of 483 years, Messiah will be cut off. Now, he didn't tell them what was going to happen then. But from the time that the Jews were allowed to go back to Jerusalem until Christ entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday was 483 years, just as God told Daniel. And then he left them and turned to the world, and Jesus said, I will build my church, my church. And for the last 2,000 years, you might have heard Israel say, excuse me, you owe me 7 years, God. We haven't had our full program of years. You promised Daniel 77s. That's Daniel chapter 9. And we've only had 69 sevens. We've got to have another 7 years. That's right. God said that's right. But just keep quiet. I'm building my church. I'm gathering my bride. You'll get your 7 years once I get my bride out. So, the bride of Christ is waiting for the personal appearance of the bridegroom to rapture her into his presence. Jesus Christ will not meet his bride on earth. That's important. He'll meet her in the air. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4. He'll meet her in the air. Therefore, the church is going up to be with him. John 14. That where I am, there ye may be also. That was never said to Israel. There is no promise in the Bible of Israel being in heaven. Does that shock you? Don't let it shock you. Israel was always promised a better day, a brighter day, a promised land. And I will give it to you. And didn't we see the other night that Israel was indestructible on the basis of a blood covenant? And that she'll get the land? But the bride is to get heaven. That where I am, there you may be. Israel, where you are, I will come to be with you. But my bride, where I am, there ye may be also. And so, I would like to think that you are in the bride of Christ, in the body of Christ, in the building which is the church of Christ. And if you are, then I know this about you. Someplace, somewhere, you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart. Somewhere, someplace, you asked God to save you. You remember it? There's got to be a place. You mightn't remember the date, no. But you've got to remember the place. I mean, how could you ever meet Christ and then forget it? You couldn't, see. No, you could not. I mean, you take the weddings that you've been at, and that you all love to go to weddings and that. Anybody who's been married, they might forget the year. They might forget which day of the week. And the most of you that are married couldn't tell me which day of the week it was. Worked out one night. But you'd never forget the occasion, see you would. When you walked down the aisle, you girls, and there was a dear fella at the front waiting for you to give himself to you and all his earthly possessions. And you walked down that aisle with a spring in your step, and you were trying to go slow, but you were in a hurry to get there. And you stood up at the front until the man said, "Wilt thou have this man?" And you said, "I will." "Wilt thou have this woman?" And he said, "I will." It was all over. And if you lived 100 years, you would never forget that. Isn't that right? Of course it is. Well, that's how sinners meet Jesus, you know. Ah, yes. There's a night, there's a place, in a car, in a church, in a convent, in a monastery, in a plane, in a boat, in a submarine, in a caravan, in hospital, in prison, when God said, "Will you take this man who died for you?" And you said, "I will." When God said, "Will you take this man who died for you?" And you said, "I will." And Jesus said, "And I'll take you." And you were joined at that moment, eternally and forever. That's the bride of Christ. And it doesn't matter whether you're Church of England or Church of Ireland or Church of Scotland or Catholic or Protestant. And remember this. There is a necessity for us to get our minds broadened a little bit. There's going to be more people in the Church of Christ that didn't belong to any church on earth at all. Did you get the hold of that? I mean, we think that the Church of Christ is made up of, and then we go over a list of people, the Pentecostals and the Elims and the Baptists and the Church of England, the Methodist, the Congregation, you go on. But that'll only be a wee corner of them. That's the beautiful thing about the bride of Christ. I mean, if you were standing beside somebody up there, whenever the choir comes back over Jerusalem, you know, and there's a strange person beside you, you're going to love them, you know. Oh, yes, you're going to love them, because you're all one now in Christ Jesus, something you wouldn't do when you were on earth. But he's going to do it. And you might talk to this person and say, "What church did you go to when you were down there?" "I didn't go to church." "Oh, you didn't? Did you ever have a communion service where you were?" "A what?" A communion. "Did you ever take bread and wine?" "No, I never heard about that." "Were you baptized as a baby?" "No, I didn't know about that either." "Which which version of the Bible did you like? Did you like the New English, the New what? International, that's right. I never saw a Bible. You never saw a Bible. I never read a Bible. You never read a Bible, and you didn't go to church, and you weren't baptized as a baby, and you never took communion. Were you ever in a rally, a gospel service? No. No idea what that would be like. What happened there? You weren't at a meeting? How did you get here anyway? Well, actually, I was a leper, you see. And it was a wee nurse from England that told me about Jesus dying for me. And she prayed with me, and I got saved. Isn't that good? There'll be millions like that. I never read the book. And we're running about with our head in the air. And if you don't belong to us, you're not going. Nonsense. We'll be a funny looking lot. In the corner somewhere. And all those people that never even heard a good preacher. Thank God he's not depending on the preachers to get people to heaven. The Holy Spirit's doing his work. Literature, radio, television. And people are going to heaven that never sat the way you're sitting. You ask them, are they a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Brethren or what are you? They would say, I don't even know what you're talking about. You might as well ask them, do they get their groceries from Stewart's or the Co-op or something? You know, they wouldn't know a thing you were talking about. Such is the expanse of this great church. Which he said is my bride. I love them, everyone. Sometime when you have more time, think of the, and read about the brides in the Old Testament. Because each of the special brides in the Old Testament who were brides of sons of promise, they were beautiful pictures of the bride of Christ. You remember who the first bride was in the Bible, don't you? What'd you call her? Eve. Eve was a little picture of the bride of Christ. Jesus has taken from these various brides certain qualities, and he said, that's my bride. That's a picture of my bride. Eve is a picture of the bride of Christ, in that she was sinless when God gave her to Adam. Until the fall, she was sinless. The bride of Christ is a sinless bride. Oh dear. Yeah. Justified freely from all things. Saved by grace, cleansed by blood. My, when he presents the bride, put to the world's press, over the Mount of Olives, and they're there from every news media in the world. A sinless bride. We shall appear without sin. Wouldn't that be glorious? A sinless bride. And you've thought of Rebecca. I think we were thinking of it the other night. Rebecca. She's a lovely picture of the bride of Christ, isn't she? 20 years of age. Her rough brother said, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. That was the decision that she made. She got on the back of an old camel and she rode for 1,000 miles. 1,000 miles? Must have taken them a couple of days. And when the desert was over, and she came to the fields, the Bible says, when they came to the field, there was a man walking in the field. And she up on the camel, and there were 10 camels. 10 camels. And the servant on the other camel. And she said to the servant, who is this that's coming? Is he coming to meet us? And the servant on the camel said,
Yes, that's my master. That's Isaac.
And this authorized Bible of mine says that she lighted off the camel. You can imagine her slipping down. But no. The original word says she sprang off the camel. She just threw herself to the ground. On her feet. She landed on her feet. And she started to run.
In a moment! That's him!
And she fell into his arms in the field. She went into a tent and got married. That's a picture of the bride, isn't it?
The bride of Christ is moving across the desert sands of earth, and we're going to spring off the earth
and meet our beloved Lord at the setting sun in the eventide of the day of grace.
At the dawning of a new day,
he and I together.
But what was Rebecca? She was a love gift.
A love gift from the father to the son. You see, the father sent the servant out to get a bride for the son. And the servant brought the bride home. Father sent the Holy Spirit. You are a love gift from God to Christ. Would you remember that when you get worried? You are a love gift from God to Christ. Try and think of what God would give to Christ as a gift, would you?
What do you think God, Almighty God, who made the universe and the stars and the planets, would give to his Son?
Another universe, I'm sure. No.
A few more planets?
No.
A few more suns to shine?
No. Do you know what God gave to Christ? Old sinners like you and me. He didn't pick us up in a jeweler's shop nor a property market. He picked us up from the dirt. And he says to Christ, there's my gift to you. And listen, if for no other reason, Jesus will never lose you and never give you up because you're of sentimental value to him. You are really. You're a special gift from God to Christ, as Rebecca was. And I'm sure Isaac often thanked his father for such a lovely bride. So you have pictures of that in those brides. Leah, do you remember when Jacob went down to the country again where Rebecca came from? And Jacob went down and he saw Rachel and he said she was fair to look upon. And she feared the Lord. He says to the uncle, I'll work 7 years for that girl. I'd like her to be my wife. But the uncle had got new offers for her sister. And when the wedding was on, you know what happened. They slipped the sister in to the bride's place and kept kept Rachel for a better day. And then whenever the boy wakened up after all the drinking and the singing and the eating, he had married the wrong woman. Many a fellow did that, and they still do it. And he went in and told the boy about it. It was a surprise. It was a real surprise when he saw. Do you know that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth to Israel? To Israel. To be Israel's king? And when he went back to heaven, he had a Gentile bride. A surprise bride. And I'm sure the angels couldn't understand that.
What? A pack of old sinners? Gentile?
He married a surprise bride. Angels weren't expecting it. The devil wasn't even expecting it. But the devil only had to watch the Jewish race, because from it would come Messiah. So he tried to destroy the Jews. But Jesus went to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And it's a surprise bride. Not only that,
You remember Moses' bride? His sister and her brother complained and objected. Oh, you shouldn't have married her. She's a Gentile. And you know what happened to the two of them. They got leprosy. Stuck dumb for a while. God won't have you criticizing anybody else. None of your business what anybody does. Moses says, I'll marry who I want to marry. So he married a Gentile bride. So did Jesus. A surprise bride. A Gentile bride. And you can think of Joseph's bride sometime. Joseph. In exile in Egypt. Come out of prison. Not very good reputation, but a good conscience. And he married a girl. He met her in his rejection, and she reigned with him in his glory. That's a nice picture of the bride of Christ, isn't it? He has picked us up in his rejection. But listen, you're going to reign with him in his glory. You wait until the wedding comes, it'll be all right. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be glory then to say that he's a friend of mine. And I'll leave you with Ruth, the Moabitess, who came to Bethlehem. A Gentile, an outsider, but you had a Redeemer in Bethlehem, and he didn't want a Redeemer. So she went and worked in the fields of Boaz. And you know the story. Boaz said, who are you? Oh, that's nice. Well, you just feel free to gather what you want here, dear. And he told the workers, leave a lot of extra pieces about for the girl to pick up. Handfuls on purpose. And then when the harvest was over, the thrashing was done. The great Boaz was lying asleep. She lay at his feet. And he wakened, he stirred, he said, who are you? Oh, it's you, Ruth. Yes. And they had a talk. And he took her out to the gate the next day, which was the council chambers. And he called her Redeemer. And he said, are you going to redeem this girl? Are you going to buy her? Are you going to take her? No, the boy said, I can't. Was it an I'll take her? And she married Boaz. And she became the grandmother of the man that wrote the 23rd Psalm. Isn't that good? King David. And she was a Gentile. And she was an outsider. Ah, but where did she meet her bridegroom? On the threshing floor. Where did you meet yours? On the threshing floor of Golgotha. Called in Chronicles the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. The altar, the temple, the cross was all on Moriah. The temple's at the southern point of Moriah. The cross of Golgotha is at the northern point of Moriah. And Moriah's mountains cut across the top there with a road and a wall. And outside the city, the northern tip of Moriah is Golgotha. The bride of Christ met him on the threshing floor of Golgotha. You're very important to Christ. He's planning a big program for you. It'll last forever. He said, believe me, I will come again for you. John 14. You believe in God? Believe me, I will come for you. You are my bride. I love you with an everlasting love. And let me say again, the first thing in the prophetic program is that this bride will be caught up. Before Europe gets her Antichrist, before Russia invades Israel, before the old fake counterfeit temple, whatever it will be like in Jerusalem, is set in order, Daniel 9. Before anything else can happen, that bride must be gone. You know, I have a question
in my mind that I have put to nearly everybody about the church and those who think it'll go through the tribulation. Because I have a fellow in Ireland that tells me all the angles that he ever thought of to prove the church goes through the tribulation. Then there's another small company that says, well, now, I don't know. I'm prepared to leave it. Maybe it will. I wouldn't like to say. There's people, you know, who like to agree with everybody. And it's a good thing if you can get away with it. But when it comes to vital matters, you ought to read enough and settle your mind about it. Here's an interesting thing, look, about the church, this wonderful bride. If those of us that are alive, most of them are at home, you see, but if those of us that are alive are going to have to suffer to get there, that's unfortunate. It's unfair. It's discrimination, actually, because all the others are way in without suffering. So what I think I'll do, if I find myself in it, of Antichrist harassing me and insisting that I take his mark, I think I'll join him. I think it'd be better that way. Ooh, but you say if you join Antichrist and you take the 666, you'll be destroyed when Jesus comes back. Will I? Now, will I? Are you not clear on eternal security? You can't believe in eternal security and also believe that the church is going through the tribulation. Because I would only be saved at this moment. I could only expect to be in heaven provided I wasn't in the tribulation and didn't take the mark of the beast. So my salvation depends on me resisting the devil. Oh, no. Yes. That's it. You can make any verse mean what you like. You can twist the scriptures. You can get this translation, that translation, the original Hebrew or Greek. I care not what you get. You can't put a member of the bride of Christ into a tribulation setting. Because there's every possibility that a lot of them would take the mark of the beast under pressure. And they'd be damned. I give unto my sheep eternal life. No, screw that out. I give unto my sheep eternal life provided they don't take the mark of the beast. That's the new rendering. You get me an alcoholic saved by grace. A man's addicted to the thing for years. And for some foolish reason, after he's been saved for 15 years, he goes away for the weekend with a crowd of men from the work. You'll probably pick him up drunk. It'll be too much for him. All the old drink and the smell of it and the taste of it. He'll go down. He'll not lose his salvation, but he'll go down. Which surely, probably, it has happened, hasn't it? Put me into the tribulation. I'll probably go down and join the old rascal. But I can't perish. You see, I can't. I'll have to go and join the ranks of the redeemed above Mount of Olives. And I'm going to look a funny sight up there with 666 all over me. But I've got his word that I'll not perish. So it doesn't matter whether I have 666 or not. His word cannot be broken. Oh, but wait. Everybody that takes a mark of the beast is damned. Not me. Because I've got his word. Now let the men who are talking this rubbish and destroying the prophetic message hold their tongue and tell their children nighttime stories if they want to about Little Red Riding Hood and something. But get out of that subject and don't insult the integrity of the Word of God and the eternal security of a believer. And if I didn't want to take the 666,
I was still waiting during the tribulation for Jesus to come, and it was getting rough on me. I knew what I would do. I would get a couple of bottles of pills and go to bed some night and swallow them all. And waking up in heaven, I'd get out of it. I'd get out of it. I'm not going through the tribulation. I'd get out of it. Oh, no, 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 you don't get out of the tribulation. If you commit suicide in the tribulation, you go to hell. You've got to endure unto the end to be saved. Oh, I give unto my sheep eternal life, provided they don't commit suicide. See, it makes a laughing stock of the Bible. And that question, I still wait for an explanation from the best known of your teachers in this country, to whom I've put it personally. And there is no explanation, because there's no way that the beautiful blood-washed bride of Christ can get mixed up in Israel's tribulation. And don't insult people's intelligence by telling them that the rapture of the church, the any moment theory, only came to life in the last 150 years through either John Nelson Darby or dear Mrs. Mary MacDonald of Scotland. Neither Mary nor John had anything to do with this. Jesus started the any moment theory himself in John 14. I will come again for you. Took Paul to heaven for a refresher course on it and sent him back to write it. Why blame John Nelson Darby in Dublin or Mary MacDonald in Scotland? And that's what all their books are based on, and it's an attack on poor John and Mary. And the two of them, I'm sure, are in heaven happy and all that, but they didn't start the Bride of Christ, and they didn't start the any moment theory. Jesus started it, and he'll finish it, and he'll be here in the twinkling of an eye, and the rapture of the royal wedding. Ruth should be your example from tonight onwards. Did you see that girl Ruth down in the fields in Bethlehem? Outside the Commonwealth of Israel, looking for a Redeemer. She's found him. Do you know what she's doing now? She's working. She's wooing. And she's waiting for the wedding. If you could do a bit of that, you'll be happier. Work for Jesus, would you? In the harvest field. Woo. Love him. Yes. Let messages of endearment and affection pass between your heart and his. Working, wooing, and waiting for the wedding. It must have been a great wedding, Boaz and Ruth, but nothing compared to Christ and the church. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee and praise thee that we are so precious to thee. Because thou dost love us, thou wilt never fail us. And because we are a love gift from God to Jesus Christ, he will never, never forsake us. Help us, Lord, to serve thee in the harvest as we wait for the wedding. Lord, we look forward to the reunion with all our loved ones, but most of all, for our first personal glimpse of Christ. Oh, Lord, bless these dear people in their homes and in their families, in their churches, in their work, in their service. Make us like Ruth, loving affectionately the bridegroom, working and waiting for that day when we'll be joined to Christ before the watching nations of earth. Lord, bless your people here and bless the testimony in this place and every other place in this area as we commit ourselves to thee in his precious name. Amen.